Picture the busiest chunk of sky you've ever flown through. A shelf of Class Bravo overhead. Airliners stepping down through the layers. A regional jet somewhere off your right, closing faster than you'd like. Now here's the question. Nobody asks until it matters. How fast is that jet actually allowed to be going down there in the low altitudes with you? There's a number. It's written into the regulations, and it exists for one reason: to keep the closure rate between two airplanes low enough that a human being has time to see, react, and not die. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we take one rule out of the book and turn it into something you can actually use on your next flight. Today we're talking about aircraft speed limits, Federal Aviation Regulation 91.117. It's the rule every pilot can quote the first line of, and almost nobody has read all the way to the bottom. Let's walk through this together, before we dive in. A quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and a few sleepless nights before a check ride. AviationSoul.com, go take a look. Okay, speed limits. Here's the part everybody knows. Below 10,000 feet above mean sea level, you may not fly faster than 250 knots indicated airspeed. That's it. That's the headline. 10,000 feet, 250 knots. And most pilots stop right there. Which is a shame, because for the average person listening to this, in a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee, that rule is almost meaningless. You physically cannot get your trainer to 250 knots in level flight. You could point it straight down and still probably not break it. So, a lot of student pilots read that line, decide the whole regulation is somebody else's problem, and move on. Don't do that, because 91.117 has three more parts, and the other parts are exactly the ones that bite the little airplanes. Let me read you the structure the way the FAA actually wrote it. Part A is the one we just covered. Below 10,000 feet MSL, 250 knots max, Part B is the one that matters to you. Inside the surface area of Class Charlie or Class Delta airspace, at or below 2,500 feet above the ground, within 4 nautical miles of the primary airport, you may not exceed 200 knots. Part C, underneath a shelf of Class Bravo airspace, or flying through one of those published VFR corridors that cut through the Bravo, you also may not exceed 200 knots. And then Part D, the escape hatch. If the minimum safe speed for a particular operation is greater than any of these limits, you're allowed to fly at that minimum safe speed. In other words, the rule will never force you to fly slower than is safe for your airplane, which is a category that basically never applies to us in light aircraft, but matters enormously to something like a heavy jet on approach or a formation flight or a warbird that stalls at 120. The regulation bends for safety. It does not bend for convenience. Now let's make that real. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. That 250 knot limit isn't the interesting one for you. The 200 knot limits are. Because those are the ones you can actually violate, and the ones designed to protect you specifically. Think about where those 200 knot rules live. Underneath a Bravo shelf? Down low, close to a Charlie or Delta field? Those are the most congested, most compressed pieces of airspace in the whole system. That's where the airliners are descending, and the students are doing pattern work, and the flight of two is departing, and somebody's practicing instrument approaches. The FAA drew a slower speed limit around exactly those places because that's where airplanes get close to each other. So who breaks the 200 knot rule? Usually not the trainers. It's the faster general aviation airplanes. A Cirrus, a Bonanza, a Mooney, a Twin. A turboprop coming down the pipe. These airplanes cruise at 160, 170, 190 knots true, and in a descent, indicated airspeed climbs. You point a fast single at the runway to lose altitude before entering the pattern. You let the speed build in the descent because it feels efficient, and you slide right past 200 knots indicated underneath a Bravo shelf without ever touching the throttle. That's the trap. It's not aggression, it's a descent, gravity, and a pilot who's watching the runway instead of the airspeed indicator. Let's talk about the word that trips people up. Indicated. The limit is 250 knots indicated airspeed, not true airspeed, not ground speed. Indicated. The number on the dial in front of you. Why does that matter? Because as you climb, true airspeed runs ahead of indicated. Up at altitude, the air is thin, and for a given indicated airspeed, your true speed across the sky is higher. So an airliner leveling at, say, 9,500 feet, showing 250 on the indicator, is actually moving faster than 250 knots over the ground. The regulation still only cares about the indicated number. That's a small point, but it's the kind of thing an examiner loves, because it tells them whether you actually understand what you're reading or you just memorized a sentence. The examiner is looking for you to know that the limit is indicated airspeed, to know the three different speed regimes, and to be able to point at a sectional chart and tell them where each one applies. That's the whole game, not recitation. Application. So let's do the application. Let's fly a scenario. You're in a nice fast single, let's say a Cirrus SR22. You're cruising home at 8,500 feet, and your destination is a busy Class Delta field that happens to sit underneath the shelf of a big Class Bravo. Classic setup. Think of any major metro area you like. You start your descent 30 miles out. You pull a little power, push the nose over, and the airplane loves it. Indicated airspeed creeps up. 180, 190, 200, 210. The airplane is happy. You're making great time. The runway's coming up nice and easy. Here's where the regulation quietly went from irrelevant to broken. The moment you slid underneath that Bravo shelf, your limit became 200 knots. Not 250, 200, and you're doing 210 in the descent and you never even noticed, because your eyes were outside. Then you get closer. You're now within 4 miles of that Delta primary airport below 2,500 feet, AGL, and the limit is still 200 knots. You've now been in violation of two different parts of the same regulation on one arrival, and the only reason you'd ever know is if a controller says something or a traffic conflict finds you first. The fix costs you nothing. Pull the power a little earlier. Plan the descent so the speed bleeds off before you get to the busy air. Not after. Make a habit anytime you're descending toward a Bravo shelf or a Charlie or Delta field of glancing at the airspeed indicator and asking one question. Am I under 200? That's the whole discipline. One glance, one question. Now, a fair thing to ask. Does this rule ever apply to my trainer at all, honestly? Almost never on the speed side. You're not going to overspeed a 172. But here's why you still need to know it cold, because you're sharing that airspace with the airplanes that can. When you understand that everybody down low near a busy field is legally held to 200 knots, you understand the closure math. The system is built so that the fastest legal airplane and you're never closing at more than a couple hundred knots. That's what buys you the seconds to see and avoid. When somebody breaks that rule, they're not just risking a phone number to call. They're eating into the time margin that keeps a mid-air from happening. The speed limit is a see and avoid rule wearing a number. And here's a subtle one that catches even experienced pilots. Notice where the 200 knot limits do not apply. Underneath a Bravo shelf, yes, 200. But above a Bravo shelf out in the clear, you're back to the general rule. 250 below 10,000. And here's the one that surprises people. In the airspace inside the Bravo itself, once you're cleared in and talking to approach, there is no 200 knot general limit. You're back to 250 below 10,000 because ATC is now sequencing you and providing separation. The slowdown rule lives underneath the Bravo and around the smaller fields, precisely where nobody is separating the VFR traffic for you. Read that again next time you're planning. The regulation is smart about where it puts the brakes. It slows you down exactly where you're on your own, and it lets you speed back up where a controller has your back. One more real-world wrinkle, and then a takeaway. You'll sometimes hear a controller ask an airliner to keep the speed up on final. 250 to the marker, that kind of thing, and a student hears that and thinks, wait, can ATC just authorize you to break the speed limit? The answer is no, and this is worth getting right. A controller cannot waive 91.117. There's no controller override for the speed limit the way there is for some other rules. If you're told to maintain a speed that would exceed the limit, the correct response is the word we've talked about on this show before. Unable, you're the one holding the certificate. That regulation is yours to comply with, not the controller's to lift. The only relief valve is the one written right into the rule. Part D. If safe operation requires a higher speed, you fly the safe speed. That's for the airplane that can't be flown slower, not for the pilot who doesn't want to. So here's your takeaway. The thing to carry into the cockpit tomorrow. The 250 knot number is the one everybody quotes, but the 200 knot numbers are the ones that protect you and the ones you can actually break. 200 underneath a Bravo shelf, 200 down low and close to a Charlie or Delta field, and it's all indicated airspeed. the number on your dial, not your speed across the ground. If you fly something fast, build the discipline of managing your descent so the speed is already down before you reach the busy air. Plan it early. Glance at the indicator, ask the one question, am I under 200? And if you fly something slow, know the rule anyway, because it tells you the closure math that keeps you alive in crowded sky. Learning to fly is hard, and it's expensive, and nobody expects you to have the whole regulation memorized on day one. But this is one of the good ones, short, logical, every line of it there for a reason you can actually feel when you're low and fast near a busy field. Today's breakdown comes straight out of the Federal Aviation Regulations, Section 91.117, with the airspace context drawn from the Aeronautical Information Manual, and I'd encourage you to go read all four parts yourself tonight. It takes 90 seconds. You can find the rest of these segments over at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Fly the number, watch the descent, and I'll see you back in the pattern next time.